This is a recording of the December 6, 2023 Audit and Finance Committee meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the Chugach Electric Association boardroom.
Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order and take roll. In addition to myself in the room, we have Director Kaysen, Director Wiggin, Director Chastain, and we have online Director Fleek Green, and that gives us a quorum for accounting and finance. And will you roll call the room, please?
Yes. In the room, we have Arthur Miller, we have Sherry Hires, Matt Clarkson, Andrew Laughlin, Josh Travis, Linda Muse, Nathan Gola, Bernie Smith, Emily Mueller, Jesse Anderson, Curtis Sims, Alan Rudek, Tiffany Wilson, Julie Haskett, and Karen Griffin. Online, we have Diana Hamilton, Sandra Casey, Peyton Reed, Mel Langdon, Todd McCarty, and Debbie Gardino.
All right, the first item we have is approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Director Fleet Green, you're on heavy duty tonight. Do I have a second?
You have a second for me, yes. Sorry.
That's okay. You are the other committee member, so we'll move quickly through that. Any discussion on the agenda? Any questions? I'm going to go over a few things super quick. We have a limited time tonight. So I will just go over that we have continued to do the work to put a lot of the stuff in the resource tab. So you will find that information under financial information. If you go to where the board committee meetings, where the board agendas are, and you will get out of that into the other resources, you have a financial tab that has some of our reports. I still have asked for the BRU investment fund review report to be there because it is so big and such a big part of our responsibilities. But we do an annual review of that where we take questions and hear a report. I am not expecting any comments or presentation on that tonight. I still put it in your packet, so you have to scroll through it and see it because it is so big. The capital tracking report you have seen, and we will take questions if you have questions on that. The semi-annual write-off you have seen before. Last time we had a significant discussion on it because we added damage claim write-offs to it for the first time, but this is nothing you have not seen before. And the third quarter financial information and variance report is probably where we will spend a lot of our time. And then we have one item in new business, discounting for the 2024 retail capital credit payments. Again, that is not new. That is something that we always do. You will see that we have a motion. We are expecting action on that to go into the consent agenda for the board meeting that follows. Because it is stuff that we do regularly in our quarterly meetings and have seen and done before, I think we can get it done tonight. If you feel differently, we can pull that. And then we have an executive session on internal controls, and we'll talk about why that's in the executive session when we get there. We did move some of the reports. We moved the 2023 internal controls test that we normally do. We put that in your tabs as well because everything passed. And the CFO and the treasurer made an agreement that if there's ever a fail on that report, it will go into your board packet and we discuss it. But quarterly, if there are no fails, it's going in your resource tab, and I am only reporting out to you that it was done and there are no fails. You will also see that we do not have director comments at the end of this meeting. That is not a knock against director comments. That is in recognition that we have a second meeting following, in which we will take director comments. As we know, director comments are super important, interesting, and engaging. So please save your director comments as opposed to delete them and provide them at the end of the board meeting that follows. And with that, I will say we have 45 minutes to get through this. And I have just spent 9 of them. So let's move, but fiduciary responsibility is one of our biggest jobs. If anybody feels like we are moving too fast or wants anything bumped to another meeting, we will accommodate that. This is one of our most important responsibilities. Any other discussion on the agenda? All right, it's been moved and seconded. Let's have a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 That carries. And then we are on to the approval of the minutes from November 8th, which are in your packet. Do I have a motion?
Move to approve the September 8th or November 8th minutes as submitted.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 That is approved. We are on to persons to be heard, and I understand that we have Mitchell Roth to be heard in this meeting.
And
nope,
he's not
next
on
meeting.
Yet.
All right, I stole Sam's sheet. I apologize for that.
It was sitting here, and it had your name originally. Sorry.
We did expect him for this meeting, but I don't see him on yet. So.
All right. We have no members to be heard, so we will move on to new business. CEO reports and correspondence.
I think Director Morse went through and did an exemplary job walking through on what these are. We don't really have a formal presentation for the third quarter capital tracking report, but we can certainly address any questions that you may have on that.
Any questions on the capital tracking report? Okay.
On the BRU ARO investment fund review, there's a presentation in your packet. Really at a high level, we're about $23.7 million in the account. Year-to-date return is about 3.4%. And funding status, we're about just under 66%. So we're moving along in the right direction on that. We'll continue doing that. We will have another ARO and reserve update in about, I think it's a year from now. We'll start working on that, and that will have an impact on what our numbers are as far as accruing. And we'll be happy to answer any questions on that report.
I don't have any questions, but I do have a comment. It's nice to see all the positive ink after the year 2022 had four successive quarters of red ink.
There you go. All right.
And item number C is our semi-annual write-off. And this is just our standard report that we provide to you every 6 months. It's pretty straightforward. As Director Morris indicated, we do have damage claims, if you will, or damages that also identified, and that will continue to be identified separately. The percentage of revenue or write-offs as a percentage of revenue still are very, very low. And that trend obviously is continuing. So be happy to answer any questions on that. Okay, and then finally, we have the third quarter 2023 financial information and variance report. And I think we have Karen Griffin and Curtis Sims. Curtis, are you coming up as well?
I'm muted.
Okay.
Okay, third quarter. So I will jump into the summary financials first, and then behind that we have the September monthly variance report, which I'll touch on month-to-date September and forecast, and then our quarterly financial report is at the end where I'll cover the highlights, the new additions to that. So year-to-date retail sales came in just slightly below budget, less than 1%. Seward wholesale sales, the same thing. They came in just slightly under, less than 1% overall. Statement of operations. So operating revenues that are attributable to margins were approximately $500,000 under budget, and this is primarily due to decreases in retail sales. Power production expenses are continuing to trend higher due to labor, maintenance and materials costs. Transmission expenses are still trending below, with lower labor costs driving that, lower maintenance cost and power pool study. cost. Distribution is trending below two, primarily to lower tree clearing expenses. Customer expenses are under budget due to lower labor and lower write-offs or allowance for uncollectible accounts. This is somewhat offset, though, by higher payment processing fees. Administrative, general, and other are under budget due primarily to lower PILT expense, lower cost related to regulatory matters, and that is somewhat offset by higher unbudgeted regulatory asset amortization. Depreciation and amortization is still trending below budget, and the biggest component of that is the new rates that were implemented January 1st. But in addition, there's lower capital spending and lower amortization related to that. And interest expenses are still higher due to short-term interest rates being greater than anticipated and our larger than planned CP balance. With net results year-to-date of $1.8 million, with an MFI over I and TIER of 1.06.
Questions? And let me just note for the record that Dr. Nordland has joined us as well. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. The balance sheet. Total assets and liabilities increased $28.6 million compared to 2022. On the asset side, net utility plant increased due to plant additions exceeding depreciation expense. AR decreased due to receipt of member payments and usage decreases from December of 2022. Other current and accrued assets increases are due to under recovery for fuel cost and BRU capital surcharge. Any question on the assets? On the liability side, long-term debt decreases due to bond payments. Notes payable increase due to additional commercial paper. And accounts payables increase due to capital project work. And other current and accrued liabilities decrease due to undergrounding projects exceeding funds received and the reduction of the settlement obligation to the North District members. And BRU, the regulatory liability decrease is due to continued production. Any questions? No? So statement of cash flows. So the cash and equivalents at September 30, 2023 were 21.2 million compared to 21 million in 2022. Oh, and then the equity ratio is 16.23% compared to 15.21% in 2022.
Oh, this comment is moving in the right direction.
Yes, slowly. Yep.
Slowly but surely. Question.
So, September month to date. So September results came in below budget by approximately $340,000, and this is typical for this period. October is better. jumping to the year-end forecast. So the year-end forecast includes October actuals. We also factored into that outage expenses an estimate there for November. And so the forecast is still projecting margins of 8.5 million with an MFI over I of 1.19 and a TIER of 1.22.
So hang on just a second. So what is in this budget beyond September is October is in here as well?
In the forecast, we included October actuals because we had those at the time it was prepared.
Okay. And then you have the information from the storm?
We estimated we had some assumptions, and they're related to those expenses related to the storm in November. So those are factored into the forecast for year end.
Can we hear that teased out? Do you have that teased out?
Yeah, so the line item that you'll see that in is under distribution expense. You can see the difference between the revised budget of $26.6 million. So we added an estimate in there for the storm to bring that year-end forecast up. So as you recall, we were 1 month delayed on the revenue side. We had forecasted in the budget for the interim and refundable rates to go into effect August, and they went into effect in September. And then all the expense reductions that have been trending this year, we were able to include an estimate for that distribution storm that occurred in November and still bring in, at this point, $8.5 million in margins, which is the year-end forecast. Of course, once we actually close November and get the final, we'll be able to see how close our estimate was for the storm. So, and if you recall, when we approved the 2024 budget, we talked about the timing of the final rates, which we put into the budget October 1. And if for some reason that was delayed, we talked about an impact of $2.7 million through that last quarter. If for some reason those final rates don't go into effect October 1. So you can see with $8 million in margins what a $1 million impact of a storm could be, including a delay in the final rates of 2.7. So luckily 2023, how we've been trending in expenses, we were able to absorb that, we think, a good estimate for the storm. So, but going into 2024, we do have some regulatory uncertainty as far as timing, and there's always the risks of storms. So we just talk about kind of the impact and what potentially could happen. So just want to give you an update on that and kind of lay the picture out.
So just to follow up, if I may, Rachel, I'm not sure if you can see me or not.
Yep, but go ahead, Suzanne, and then we'll put Director Kaysen and Q behind you.
Go ahead. Just to follow up, Sherry, so the way I'm looking at it right now, the estimate in that distribution line is $500,000 potential cost of the storm. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, so actually the distribution expense is trending lower. So actually we added $1 million estimate in for the storm.
Oh,
and then the net impact is about $500,000 because the expense is trending.
I see what you were saying there. Okay, got it. I do think, you know, it's a good question, Rachel, and I think we should underscore for members that, you know, an event like that, which was so significant and beyond our control, definitely has that large of an impact. So appreciate the question.
Great. Director Casey?
Director Fleet Green asked part of the question that I had. Following up on that question, look at transmission expense, that the budget was 8.8, revised budget went up to 11.6. And I believe, didn't that storm have a pretty major transmission component as well? And I see that we're down below even the original budget in that line.
Yeah, so as you can see, and Karen pointed out earlier, transmission is trending millions of dollars under before the storm. And we didn't break it out between transmission and distribution only because we had a hard time kind of estimating in the first place. So we just put the bulk of it into distribution. However, there may be an impact in transmission, but we still think the total impact is approximately $1 million.
You know,
so the line items might not be perfect, but as Karen pointed out before, transmission, though, is trending over $2 million under even before this event. So,
well, the entire report, I mean, year to date through September, showing a tier of 1.06,
shows how close to the bone we really are, especially with the fall or the winter storm season hitting us. That really should underscore for anybody out there who wonders if we really need a rate increase, why we don't have any safety net at all. We are dancing on our covenants right now to make it meet. And I congratulate you, Arthur, on a well-run organization that can take a storm like that with such skinny margins and still project hitting the end of the year solid.
Thank you. And I also want to say in this point, I want to give an outstanding acknowledgement of the linemen and all the people that were involved in restoring power during that time. They worked tirelessly to get the power back on. And so we're really, really, really pleased, not only with where we are financially as a result of getting through this, but also for the workers that were out there, you know, in the elements as they were, and just all the way through the organization from dispatch to member services to line crews and operations. Anyway, I can't say enough positive things about that, so I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Other questions?
Director Morris?
Yeah.
If I could, I don't believe we have an audit meeting in January, and Sherry, I don't know if it'll be right by then or not, but can we just circle back to this? And when you have a final accounting of the storm costs, both in terms of dollars, but also, as Arthur just mentioned, the time, the number of hours spent, I think, again, that would be a good thing to have a board conversation about, just so that we are able to share with the public that these significant weather events can easily change where we are in terms of our financial report. So I'm just asking that we circle back to this at the appropriate time in January or February at a board meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a general practice to bring the monthly financials to the regular board. So when we do have November financials, we'll definitely bring those in. But great. Karen does have October, draft October. Does she just like to briefly let you know what October looked like?
Yes. Okay. Much better than September. So October results were $1.5 million in margins, approximately $600,000 above the budgeted, and primarily due to expense savings and bringing year-to-date margins to $3.4 million.
I have one question, which is, we continue to talk about expense savings, so I want to make sure we have actually realized those and that isn't a timing issue, like those expenses aren't necessarily just deferred where they're going to catch up with us later. We've actually realized those savings, or are we waiting for things to be recognized and spent later?
For the most part, in like transmission, we think, I mean, a little bit might go up due to some of the storm, but that's been trending and we don't expect that to completely turn around. And the one that we are going to receive the saving in depreciation, because depreciation, really the largest factor is the difference in the depreciation rates that we assumed in the budget prior to our depreciation study being approved, and that actually those rates went down. So those savings and depreciation expense, we will realize those. And if anything that's related to labor, you will, you know, realize labor savings. So in several of those categories that Karen said was lower labor, those you've already realized due to some of the positions or retirements that were unexpected and stuff like that. So you will continue to realize those as well.
Okay. I have one more follow-up question, which is probably more of an operations question, but anytime we continue to talk about lower labor, we have enough labor, right? Like it's not our strategy long-term to just bank on having less labor. So we're on that. I don't know who answered. I guess maybe I'll start with you.
Absolutely. I will say that we are actively recruiting for a lot of positions. We will only fill positions when we get the right candidates for the positions.
Sure.
There are pressures on certain areas, engineering in particular. Andrew and I are in constant discussions regarding that.
But in no way, shape, I will, no way, shape, or form are we trying to hold the line on hiring people. Absolutely not. In fact, we're going the opposite in making sure that we have enough resources to get the job done without any question.
Okay, great. Any other questions? All right.
And then we have two updates in the quarterly financials. First one is on page 13, and we have a new accounting pronouncement. So FERC has updated the uniform system of accounts for public utilities. This amendment created new accounts for wind, solar, and other renewable generating assets, and effective January 2025, it is applicable to Chugach and is not expected to have a material effect.
Questions about that change?
And then on page 24, we just added the comment related to the Eklutna Hydro Project draft program release in October.
Pretty straightforward. Any questions or comments on those? All right. Thank you. All right. We're on to new business and discounting for 2020 for retail capital credits.
So this is, I guess, standard business. This is the first time that I presented on the discounting program. But we're requesting $300,000 for the capital credits program. Capital credits was, you'll see, down this year. You'll see here's the actuals for 2021, 2022, and 2023 comparisons. Generally, when we have approved budget for discounting of $350,000 or $300,000, I always over send letters. So for instance, I sent about $400,000 in discounting letters this year, hoping that I get more takers. I'm not sure what the lower acceptance rate was this year, because I want to say it could be interest rates, but I have a trend of interest rates. The interest rate was higher this year, but it's been high for many other years, and I had a lot of discounting acceptance. So the acceptance was just lower this year, and there's no trend to that. So we're currently using the NFU, National Rural, I have it right here. The CFC interest rate, the 10-year long-term borrowing rate, it's their rate plus 3% is our current practice, cost of capital, whichever is higher, and their rate is always higher. The current interest rate was 8.98% this year, which was significant over last year, which was only 6.51%. But it's been higher in previous years, and I had many much more acceptance. So we're just going to keep plugging away. This year I'm asking for $300,000. We are going to increase training in member services to push the program for members who have left the cooperative. I have a meeting scheduled with the department next Thursday, and we'll review the practice of discounting. Is there any questions?
So I just want to make a comment that when we had our pre-board meeting, we discussed the opportunities associated with discounting of capital credits. And Director Cation was asking about, well, what kind of efforts do we undertake? Mm-hmm. And in exploring that further, we realized, no, we can do more education to our membership on that basis. So as a result of that, we are going to do really push hard to educate members. It does save us a lot of money over the long run as well. Not only do we get permanent equity through the discounting program, but it means it's less former members that we have to keep track of. So we look at that as, it would be good if we could increase that.
Well, and if you look at the numbers up there, the donated capital was actually higher than in previous years, even though we had much less acceptance. So we're retiring the newer people that are accepting are the people that have the newer money. And so that's why your donated capital is up. So it's still a benefit, even though it appears that we accepted the less people accepted, the donated capital was up because people who had newer money are the ones that are accepting.
So then the ask tonight is that for 2024, we set aside an amount not to exceed $300,000 for these payments.
Yes.
Correct.
And then if we get to a point during the year where we're approaching that number,
you'll come back.
We'll come back
we'll
to
come
you.
Back.
Mm-hmm. So then this motion will go, this motion is so that it goes on the consent agenda of the board meeting later tonight.
I'd like to make a comment, and it's really sort of only tangentially related, but it comes from one of your comments there that we are going to increase staff training.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends called AWWU recently, and they told me that they got a helpline in Mumbai. Was their best guess. And I think that it's really important to the level of service that we provide that our call center is here. It's Anchorage residents. It's people who are here in town. We're keeping that call center money here. We're able to train people to respond to local situations much more readily than someone in India would be able to do. I think that that's really important. And the second thing, I'm going to speak in favor of the motion. When we buy these credits, it goes directly, all the money that we buy at the discounted rate goes directly to equity. This is one of the cheapest ways that we have to build equity. So that's why Arthur is looking to
yes.
for ways to make sure that we have a good effort going out here on this. So just wanted to make that further comment.
Just got a question.
Sure.
So how does the discount work exactly?
Sure. So we're using the net present value method. So the older the money, the more you're going to get on your dollar. So the way I explain it for simple terms to even members who call and ask me, when you buy a savings bond, you buy a $50 savings bond, you buy it for $25. Well, it's not worth $50 for 11 years or 17 years or whatever. That's kind of capital credits also. Right? So I'm allocating X dollars, but it's not worth X for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's really where for instance, if you were to ask for a discount this year, 1991, you would get paid 100%. And then we start to discount as future years go further. So the newer the money, you may be getting, less than 5 cents on the dollar.
And then, and the discount percentage is based on?
It's based on the CFC rate, our 10-year long-term commercial borrowing rate, plus
3%. Okay.
And that's as of the first business day of the year. And it stays that way because I have letters out there. I can't update that rate throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the discount letter that I send you would be different than what I send somebody else.
Right.
So it's the same rate as the first day business day of the year.
Okay. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, any other questions? Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I would move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution authorizing early discounted retail capital credit payments in 2024 for estate payments and former members that are no longer on Chugach's system in an amount not to exceed $300,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, that motion is going to carry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is internal controls update. It is in executive session, so we will call for that motion. I will tell you, it goes into executive session because we talk about what could go wrong, the effectiveness of our controls, and how we keep confidential information confidential, and that type of stuff is confidential. So that's why it goes into exec session. And if I could have a motion, please.
I would move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025-175C1, the Board of Directors go into executive session to discuss and receive reports regarding matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. We are in exec session.
Okay, we're out.
All right. We are out of executive session. We had a good discussion on internal controls. We have no further new business. We are suspending director comments until the board meeting that follows. And I am ready to accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, we are adjourned at 4:56.